or maybe not. Maybe we want to be like Christ. And friends, the way I see it is our goal is just to get more and more and more like Jesus, so when that day comes, there's very little change that has to happen. That we're as much like Him as we can possibly be by His grace. It's a transformation. It's a metamorphosis is what it literally is. There was a man who found a butterfly chrysalis, or a cocoon you might call it, and he watched it as the little hole came open and the butterfly began to crawl out of the hole, and it seemed to just get stuck. It wasn't making any progress. So after watching it for a while, he decided that the butterfly was stuck and it couldn't get itself out, so he took some scissors and he snipped open the opening, and the butterfly came out very easily, but it was weird. The body was all fat and still just engrossed with the fluid, and its wings were still tiny and shriveled on its back, and he thought, well, eventually it'll work itself out. And he watched it for a long time, and it finally started crawling around and stuff, but it never changed. Because what happens is, when the butterfly works its way through that tiny hole, as it squeezes itself out, it forces the fluid out of its body and into its wings. And it requires going through that difficult process. It requires going through that struggle to emerge from the cocoon on its own in order to become a butterfly. And if it doesn't go through that struggle, if it doesn't go through that difficult time, it can't be changed into what it's intended to be. And friends, it's no different for us as Christians. God is not going to grow us through things being easy by Him doing everything for us, but God is going to allow us to go through trials and tribulations and difficult things because He wants us to be changed by the struggle, to be changed by the difficulty. And listen, Jesus Christ suffered for us, and when we suffer for Him, we become like Him. You get that? Listen, by things being easy, that's not what helps us to grow. But going through the fiery trials, that's what changes us and helps us to come forth as gold, like Job said. And so if we're going to become like Christ, we're going to have to go through some real change. And God's will is not only that we would be like Christ someday in heaven, but it's God's will that we would be like Christ today here on this earth. And there are enough people who profess to be followers of Christ who live and look exactly like the world, but God has called us to something far different than that. I saw something today. Somebody said that if a child of God has the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them, if that's really true, then it shouldn't be that difficult to tell the difference between somebody who is saved and somebody who is unsaved. If the Holy Spirit of God really lives inside of believers, it shouldn't be that difficult to tell the difference between saved people and lost people. But I want to tell you, when I look around the world today, it's difficult. Because most saved people do not live or act any different than the world does. And God's called us to something different. He's called us to be changed from one thing into something else. That's what the word is. In verse 18, the word change is metamorphos. It's what we see, the change from a caterpillar to a butterfly, and it's a dramatic change that God wants to make in our lives. We would be different. The tragedy for most Christians is that the growth process stops within just a little while of their profession of faith, but God wants dynamic work that took place on the day of salvation to continue throughout our life. Now, this life that we have in Christ is a spiritual life, and it's important that we understand that the spiritual life can only really happen through the Holy Spirit of God working in us. It's not something we can muster up on our own. Now, nobody who is exposed to the glory of God, nobody who is exposed to the glory of God by the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God can be exposed to God in that way and remain unchanged. God will change us, and He'll change our life as we expose our life to His glory. And He is the glory of God. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Jesus Christ, when you see Him, You see the glory of God. And I tell you, friends, it wearies my soul when I meet people who are kind of a attitude towards Jesus. We're talking about God, who became a man and lived a sinless life and died and was buried and raised again on the third day. We're talking about God, the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, who paid for the sins of the whole world, Jesus Christ, who is everything. And people have kind of attitude towards him like he's nothing, and he is everything. And when we see him in the Word, we are exposing ourselves to his glory, and it ought to change us. Now, I want to make sure you understand this up front. This lesson is not about outward conformity, but it's about inward change. It's not about outward conformity, it's about inward change. He desires to change, and that change be generated by a daily walk with him, a daily walk with him as we look into his glory. So if you're taking notes, you can write down number one: experiencing his glory is humbling. There's a lot of things that keep us humble in this life. My family members do a good job of that most of the time. And some of our church family help me out with that some of the time too. We got a lot of people that are always there for us to keep us humble, right? But nothing is more humbling than comparing our position as lost sinners to the glory of Jesus Christ. When we are exposed to the glory of God, it's humbling because it causes us to recognize our sinful nature. And you remember Isaiah in Isaiah 6, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he says, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." He's like, when he saw God in all his glory, he saw his sinfulness. And that's what happens when we're exposed to the glory of God. We see ourselves for what we really are. And the fact is, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when you see how glorious Jesus is, it shows you how inadequate we are. Even as born-again Christians, we need in our lives to recognize our sinful nature. We need to recognize the need for change. If we don't recognize our sinful nature was crucified at the cross, we're never going to experience victory. So I wanted you to look with me real quickly at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 and verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. When you get saved and you follow Christ in baptism, you're identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You are saying, Jesus died for me and he rose again. I believe that. I trust in that. And you're also saying that I am a new creature in Christ. I died with Christ and I'm going to live for him. We are to reckon ourselves indeed to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. We need to put that on our account. Jesus Christ has saved us. He nailed our sins to the cross. The power of sins was defeated, and we can walk in newness of life. We don't have to serve sin anymore. We've been given new life in Christ. And there's got to be a change of focus from the old sins to our purpose in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us victory over the old man, and we don't have to be bound to our sin nature anymore. And here's the reality. Most people, we do the same thing over and over and over again. We fall into some sin, we repent, we come back to God. We fall into some sin, we repent, we come back to God. And we don't have to do that. That sin really doesn't have power over us anymore. We don't have to live in sin. We can live in victory. And if we really love the Lord, and we really want to be more like him, then our focus can be so fixed on Christ, we get our eyes off of these sinful things. It's tough sometimes. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a battle in our flesh. There was a Sunday school teacher trying to teach her class one Sunday morning about how important it is to act in church. And she asked the students, "Now, boys and girls, when we go to the morning worship service, why is it so important for us to be quiet during church?" And one little girl raised her hand and she said, "Because people are trying to sleep." And that's, hey, listen, the reality is we go through our lives, we have our busy days, we have all those things, and maybe it's for a various amount of reasons, but we can come in here and listen to the preaching of the Word of God and be so sleepy we can't hold our heads up. But I'm amazed at myself, because I can sit down to read my Bible and can't hardly stay awake. I can turn on a TV show and stay awake for hours without blinking. Why? Because we are so carnal, we're fleshly. And the things of the flesh don't love the things of the Spirit. And those things are against one another. And listen, it may be a struggle, it may be difficult, but I'm telling you that it's worth it. The natural man does not desire the things of God. The natural man wants his fleshly appetites to be appeased, but the Spirit inside of us is longing for the things of God. The Spirit inside of us is longing, and we need to be careful. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And listen, our flesh, sometimes we think the flesh, the carnal man, it's got to be something like witchcraft or murder or some awful thing. But maybe it's just laziness. Maybe it's just anger. And when we're walking in the flesh, we have those things. But when we're exposed to the glory of God, it shows us our sinfulness so that He can change us. And God doesn't, listen, God's not here just to put us on a guilt trip for what we don't do right. God wants to change us. Amen. He exposes our sin to us so we can repent and be changed. He doesn't expose our sin to us so we can just feel really lousy about ourselves and go home feeling like a bunch of losers. I hope when you leave church, you don't go home feeling like a bunch of losers. I hope that we're challenged, we're convicted, and we are responsive to the Word of God. When we are exposed to His glory, we'll reckon our Savior's truth. There in Romans 6, verse 6, it says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, from this moment on, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." We need to reckon ourselves dead to sin. Now listen, we're still in the fleshly body. We still have our carnal mind. We are not dead to sin literally yet, but it's already taken care of by Christ, and we don't have to live under the bondage of sin anymore. And he says, put that on your account. Mortify your members that are on the earth. Mortify your body. Don't obey it. You were a slave to sin. Now you can be a servant of righteousness. You don't have to live in sin anymore. Reckon it to your account. Credit it to your account. Acknowledge the fact that what God's word says is true. Now I want to ask you a question. Have you ever felt like you couldn't help it? There's some sin that has a hold of you, and you feel like, I just can't let it go. Have you ever felt like that? I have. The world calls them addictions. People are addicted to everything today. We have television addictions, and there's pornography addictions, and sugar addictions, and drugs and alcohol, and all those things. And sometimes we feel like we can't let go of something. But I'm telling you that God says you can. Doesn't have to control your life. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Even our faith. Experiencing His glory. Experiences is His glory is humbling. But not only that, number two, experiencing His glory is heart-changing. It's heart-changing. The moment you get saved and throughout your life, God encourages, renews, and changes our hearts. Now, our heart is the innermost part of our spiritual being, and God gives us joy in our heart. 1 Peter 1:8 says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." We haven't seen Jesus. We haven't seen him with these eyes, but when you are saved, you don't have to see him with these eyes because you know him by faith, and because you know him by faith, you love him. Amen. "Whom having not seen, ye love." Now I want to ask you a question. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? I mean, do you love him? Yeah, we love him because he first loved us. When you look at the cross, how can you not love Christ? When you think of all that he's done for us, and not just his sacrifice, but how he provides for us, "Every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And every good thing that's in our life comes from God. He's blessed us with our life. He's blessed us with our health. He's blessed us with our family." And besides all of those things, all the spiritual blessings, the abundance that he gives, it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And even if we lose our health and our wealth and our family and everything, we can be like Job and say, "I may not have anything at all, but I know my Redeemer lives." Amen. You see, we haven't seen him, but we love him. And when we love him, it says, "In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing." And because we believe in him, we can love him. And because we believe in him, we can rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a whole lot that I don't know, but I know one day I'm going to see Jesus face to face. I know one day I'm going to bow down at his feet and I'm going to worship him forever and ever and ever. I know one day I'm going to be in his ultimate kingdom where there's no more sin, no more sorrow, and no more death. And friends, that brings me joy. Amen. And maybe I get burdened down because there's a lot of sin in this world. And maybe I get burdened down because there's a lot of sickness in this world. I get burdened down because there's death and there's sorrow here. And maybe I get burdened down because I got bills to pay. And who doesn't get depressed about bills? Amen. But I know that when it's all said and done, I'm going to be with Jesus. And that brings joy beyond my circumstances. He brings joy. He brings peace. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let me give you guys a prescription. Because I think if we're honest, most of us here tonight at times, and maybe all the time, we don't have peace in our hearts and minds. Is that true? You ever lack peace in your heart and mind? I mean, we worry, we're stressed out, we're concerned, we can't rest in our mind. And I'm telling you that peace can only come from God. And I love how he says it. It's a peace that passes understanding. And maybe you're not experiencing it right now, but you've seen it in other people. I have seen people go through unspeakable tragedies and yet had peace in their heart and mind. And that's unexplainable. It's beyond understanding how people could go through some of the things they go through and still have peace in their heart and mind. And the answer is, it's the peace of God. Amen. And it's the peace of God that comes through Christ Jesus. And there is sickness and there is sorrow. And there is death, and there is pain, and there is sin, and there are all kinds of terrible things in this world around us. And yet through it all, if we have Christ, we can have peace. Amen. A lot of times we're not content. A lot of times we're driven. A lot of times we're just frantic because we have not spent enough time in the glory of God. And see, when we come into the glory of God, we're changed into the same image, into the same glory. And it's like this. When we look into this Word of God, it's like a mirror, and it shines. It shows us who we are, but it also shines the light of Christ on us. And when we spend time in His Word, in His presence, in His Spirit, His glory, it shows on us. It shines on us. It sticks to us. It's just like Moses. When he spent all that time with the Lord in the mountain, and he came down, his face shone. Why? Because he was so close to God. He was in the glory of God, in the presence of God. And I'm telling you that when people spend time with God, it shines from their life. Amen. People will take note of you that you have been with Jesus. Amen. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And God doesn't call us to just retire from life and do nothing. He calls us to work. But working for Jesus is a joy, not a burden. I don't know. I'd like to believe that everybody here starts every day in prayer and Bible study. But I think if we're honest, everybody here could say there have been days that you've gone through your day without prayer and Bible study. And would anybody be honest enough to say, you can tell a difference when you start your day with the Lord, how that day goes, compared to a day over here where you start it with the Lord. And the circumstances of my day aren't any different, but I'm different. Because the problems that are in my life are there every day. But if I've been spending time with Jesus, then I deal with those things differently because I'm differently. But when I don't spend time with Jesus, then everything goes wrong because I'm wrong. Listen, my kids are always aggravating. But I don't get nearly as angry with them if I've spent time with the Lord. Right? I won't talk about my spouse. I'll just talk about my kids. It's just as simple as that. Amen. Spending time with Christ changes our day. Amen. Experiencing His glory is not only humbling and heart-changing, but it's also compelling. It's compelling. Admitting that we need change, accepting the truth of God's Word, brings us to a point of decision. In Romans 6:13, it goes on to say, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Listen, you used to be a servant of sin. Jesus saved you. He brought you from death unto life. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Now you're dead to trespasses and sins. You were dead to in sin, now you're dead to sin. And now you can live a new life. So you have a choice to make. You have a choice whether to yield yourself as a servant of unrighteousness or to yield yourself as a servant of God. And that's your only two choices. We are either serving God or we're serving sin. And we need to get to that place where we understand, well, it's just my choice. What I'm doing doesn't really hurt anybody else, blah, 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 blah. But the reality is either we're living for God or we're living for sin. And why would we want to serve sin anymore? What did sin ever do for you? No, we want to live for God. So we're compelled to serve Him. We ought to be compelled to serve Him. We ought to feel compelled to do something for the one who's done so much for us. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we just thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And if he died for all, then we which are alive, we ought to, from this moment on, henceforth, we ought to live for the one who died for us and rose again. I mean, we ought to want to live for Jesus. His glory will provoke a response. It'll call us to action for Christ. It'll call us to service in the church. Now, if you're doing something for God because of obligation or peer pressure, you won't do it for very long, and you won't discover the joy that can be found in serving Christ with a pure heart. How many of you ever came to church because somebody else wanted you to or made you? And hopefully tonight you've come to the place because that you're here because you want to be here. See, here's the thing. I came to church when I was younger because my mom took me to church. I didn't really have a choice in the matter. And by the way, I was a stupid kid. It never occurred to me that I ever had a choice in anything. I see these kids that rebel against their parents and parents say, I can't make them do this or that. Those kids are smarter than I was because I never knew I had a choice. Mama says we're doing this, that's what we're doing. I mean, that's just the way it was. And I honestly can't tell you that I had some light bulb moment where I finally decided I wanted to go to church. But I'm just telling you, for as long as I can remember, it was my choice, and that's just what I do. I haven't had to decide whether I'm going to church or not in longer than I can remember. It's automatic. If it's time for church, we go to church. That's what we do. Why? Why? Let me challenge you with this. If you come to church because your parents make you, good. If you come to church because you have to live with your spouse and they're going to nag you if you don't come, that's not so good. And it won't last. You see, the reason we come to church is because we love God and we want to worship the one who died for us and rose again. Because we want to worship God because He's God. Amen. We ought to want to come to church because we love one another. Amen. If we're really disciples of Christ, we're going to love one another. We ought to want to spend time with each other. Amen. We ought to love one another and care about one another. And we ought to want to come for God, and we ought to want to come for one another. Amen. And we ought to want to come because of the Word of God. Because this place is where we preach and teach the Word of God, and we ought to long for that. And so when we get into the Word of God, it compels us that I want to worship God. I want to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to grow closer to this God who loved me. I want more of His glory to shine into my life. But a lot of times we don't want to serve because we're not spending time in the presence of God. We haven't been talking with Him. We haven't been meditating on His Word. And when God is really a presence in our lives, we won't attempt to do as little as possible for Christ. We'll want to obey Him with all of our heart, and we'll want to do everything He calls us to do. God doesn't just want lip service. He wants our hearts. Not only are we compelled to serve, we're compelled to know Him and to yield Him. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." We need to get to a place to reckon ourselves dead to sin and to yield ourselves alive to the Lord. And as we recognize our need for change, as we yield our lives to Him, His grace will lead us to a more holy life, a life that's more like Christ. And as we are compelled to serve Him, as we're compelled to yield to Him, we will be compelled to glorify Him. What is all this to do these good works? Well, it's to let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works, not so that we would get glory, but so that God would be glorified, so that they would glorify our Father, which is in heaven. As we get ready for an invitation tonight, I want you to think about this. When was the last time that being exposed to the glory of God made a real change in your life? Can you remember? Can you think about how sometime you were in the Word of God or under the preaching of the Word of God and seeing Christ? In seeing Him, it changed your life? When's the last time that happened? Because, friends, it doesn't have to be a revival meeting or a church service or some big thing. It can be every day as we get in the Word, He can change our lives. And if you think you don't need significant change in your life, friend, there's none of us that are like Christ. We all need big changes in our life. When's the last time, because of being in His Word, you got joy and peace and were compelled to serve Him more? I pray tonight as we think about His Word that God will begin to make a real change inside our hearts. And I pray that God will help us every time we open this book, that we would see the glory of Jesus Christ and be changed into that glory. Let's stand together. We're going to sing what number? Number 514. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart tonight. Anything that you need to take care of between you and the Lord, would you come?